This podcast replay is brought to you by Pallet Rack City, specializing in knockdown and installations of your warehouse equipment. They also sell used forklifts and dock equipment, largest used rack inventory in South Florida. You want a great rack? Call Eddie right now, 305-887-9212, Pallet Rack City.
All righty, welcome back, baby. We promised you we're going to talk a little Canes. Manny Navarro from The Athletic. It is time now for our Canesware Miami Hurricanes report. And we do it at this time. Well, actually, we don't do it at this time normally. We do it at 1 o'clock normally. So just in case, on Tuesdays. But follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. And, of course, get on down to Canesware at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Tell Brett and all the great people that Big O sent you. Make sure you mention us. Manny,
what's up?
It's all about the U. I love it. All right, we're out here at the Reese's Senior Bowl, my brother, and we're gonna see your boy this week here.
Yeah, man.
So we'll see if he can build his stock up here at the Senior Bowl. I talked about this earlier on my show, Manny. All right, look, I know that Diaz has a lot to prove to all of us. Coming off of this past season, that they looked so unprepared, and he did too, and all of that, and it's not to fall for the hype or anything, but damn, dude, I gotta give him a lot of love because you had concerns about the offense, you went and got yourself a coordinator, you were not none of us convinced with any of the quarterbacks. This kid King looks pretty good. You go and add a hell of a defensive end. You had problems with your kicker, obviously. Bubba Baxter is now in the transfer portal. I think he's transferring to another country, whatever. You got a kicker that's pretty damn good from FIU. A lot of the issues that you had, you have addressed them head on. At least I got to say major props for that. Whether it works out or it doesn't, I don't know. The transfer portal wasn't the most productive thing last year as it was for the Canes. But at least on paper, they're addressing it, right?
Yeah, Mr. January. That's what I'm calling Manny Diaz. He always has an unbelievable January. You know, like you said, he attacked the transfer portal last year, and everybody was like, wow, this guy's for real. And then we got to August, September, and October, and it kind of died. But you know, maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the year he moves from the front of the calendar to the back and transitions and turns into Mr. August, September, October, November because of what he did this January. And so, you're right. I think he deserves
Manny, you sound a little muffled there. I don't know if you can move around a little bit there, but it
sure,
sounds
can you hear me better.
There we go. Yes, much better. Okay. Go ahead.
So, no, my point is just that, you know, let's see if Mr. January can become Mr. Fall. And all of these moves and everything that he's done to put himself in position to improve the team comes through. But you have to give him credit. He took care of many of the issues. He went to the offense that everybody wants him in, right? They're going to play in the spread. He went out and he got a veteran quarterback, a talented kid, a guy who might even be a dark horse for the Heisman this year, depending on the type of numbers he puts up. And then, you know, you get the kicker, and he's not done either. I mean, he's still got to hire a wide receivers coach. And that could be an upgrade as well. So, offensive line coach, I mean, he addressed a lot of areas. And he's not standing, sitting on his hands and just saying, oh, woe is me, we were 6-7, and these damn players just would play the way I want them to. No, he's gone out and look, they even have a top 20 recruiting class. So let's not forget about that either. I mean, even with the losing, they still went out and they signed a pretty good class. And some good freshmen, and I like what they did as far as redshirting a lot of the kids last year. Those guys I've heard a lot of good things about on the scout team. They're going to be moving up and playing roles this year.
What's your favorite move so far out of all the moves he's made?
Well, I mean, I think you have to go with Lashley, right? I mean, switch the offense up to basically acknowledge the fact that, you know, the majority of the kids in South Florida nowadays, where your recruiting base is playing in spread offenses. They're not playing in the scheme, you know, this old pro-style attack and trying to do some of the things that Danny Enos was doing. You don't have the offensive lineman in your backyard. I know people call it a gimmicky type offense, but it's what everybody in college football is doing nowadays. It's what the more successful teams are doing. because there's not that good of offensive line play. And not too many teams have great offensive lines. So how do you make up for it? You spread the field, you put guys in space, and try to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands as quick as possible. That wasn't happening last year with Danny Enos in that offense. And so he made the adjustment, and he listened to football people, not just the fans that were angry, but he listened to football people. He looked into it, and he went to this new offense. And then, you know, part B of that is just certainly getting the other team, because I think, look, you can go out and get a coordinator, but unless you get the guy to execute it on the field, you're going to be in the same boat you were last year. So I think getting the other team was huge, and all of that started with getting rid of last year, because ultimately King doesn't come if last year's not here.
And, of course, Manny Navarro joins us every week for our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report. Make sure you visit the folks at Caneswear, 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Make sure you mention our show when you're there to all the folks at Caneswear. Manny, what have you been able to unearth? Because it sounds like a lot of good stuff with Derek King, De'Eriq King. But he, you know, the four games he played and then chose the red shirt. Are there any negatives that you can find? Because it seems like, man, this is a story that's too good to be true almost.
Well, I mean, obviously everybody's going to look at it and say, well, he played against the American Athletic Conference. You know, he didn't play a Power 5 schedule. But what I say to those people, and I wrote this in my story for The Athletic, in the four games that he played against Power 5 schools at quarterback, 12 touchdowns, zero interceptions. I mean, he didn't turn the ball over. He ran the ball, had success running the ball. I mean, he kept them in it against Oklahoma this year when Houston played Oklahoma in the season opener. So I don't think the kid wilts under the pressure of playing at a higher level. And let's be honest, it's not like the ACC Coastal was that much better than the AAC last year, right?
Nope.
So I think, other than him being 5'11", and being a guy who, you know, if he takes a really hard lick, he can get knocked out. I think, you know, he's an exciting football player. And this program, you know, they've had some exciting players the last few years. But this kid is like, you know, when you start talking about Heisman candidate and, you know, 50 touchdowns and 10 interceptions in his career, there's more numbers I can throw at you that in some of my research. Number one, in terms of efficiency, touchdown interception ratio, he's sixth among players with at least 50 touchdown passes since 2016. The only players that were better than him in terms of touchdown interception ratio, Tua, Joe Burrow, Dwayne Haskins, Baker Mayfield, and Trevor Lawrence.
Wow.
So this guy is on that level. And then in terms of his completion percentage, look, yes, the majority of his passes are short, 5 yards or less. But he still completes 76% of those passes. From 6 to 15 yards downfield, he's completing 57. And then over 16 yards, 43%. Those career numbers, compared to what Miami quarterbacks did last year, are better. He completed more passes than Miami QBs did. So he's a more accurate passer than what Miami has collectively coming back. He's experienced. And then, of course, he brings the running element, which none of those guys really have. I mean, Nagosi Perry is elusive. But, running quarterbacks in today's game, again, I know your philosophy. You look at guys like Lamar Jackson and wonder how long can they do it?
Oh, no, college. I don't look at it in college that way. College right. is a whole different. I look at that differently. In the NFL, I don't want my guy running 200 times because he's dead in the water. College, it's a whole different ball game. There's a lot of times you're so much better than everybody else around you that's a whole different. In the NFL, you're not, bro. It's a whole different ball game. You know what I mean? So I have a different philosophy in college. I don't mind the guy running a lot in college because, you know, you can't find 32 good quarterbacks in the world. How in the hell are we going to find 100 and something for college? You know what I'm saying? Right. So you got to find other ways to win in college. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, but if this kid is anything like Kyler Murray was or Jalen Hurts, which is basically what you're hoping he is, right? You're hoping he's that kind of a talent. Then where does that put Miami? Where would that have put them last year? With this kid? You know, would they have gone 6-7? Hell no. They would have played much better than that. So if this kid performs at that kind of level where he's putting up big numbers and he's thriving in an offense, then it's going to be a good year next year for Miami.
Dude, Quincy Roche, 13 sacks. Opposite of a dude that had 15 and a half. Holy crap. They're going to have two werewolves this year getting after quarterbacks.
No question. and that's going to be really unique. I mean, you talk about what success is in college football nowadays with these spread offenses. If you have to bring more than four pass rushers to get pressure on the quarterback and to get the ball out of his hands, odds are you're giving somebody uncovered and somebody open downfield to make a big play against you. And so the whole secret to Manny Diaz's defense really has been that aggressive nature. And they've been a great team getting to the quarterback in terms of the defense that he's been here. I mean, they're top 22 in sacks for the last 4 years. I think they were number seven this year. And then, you know, you lose John Garvin early to the NFL. You lose, you know, Trevon Hill, who's there at the Senior Bowl. So you lose two of your top three pass rushers. You bring Brazil back. And now all of a sudden, you don't have to count on, you know, Scott Patchen or even Jalen Phillips, who hasn't played football in over a year, or any of these upcoming freshmen to be sort of a wingman to Gregory Rousseau. No, you go out and you get one of the best, the defensive player of the year in the AAC to come in and basically share the other side. And so now, you know, none of those guys are going to face too many double teams, because I mean, you can pick your poison, you can double team Rousseau, but that just means Rochet's, you know, one-on-one with the other guy. And, you know, Jalen Phillips is a very good pass rusher. He's the number one high school player in the country. I think there's big expectations for him as well. He's a big physical freak himself. So, I mean, you put those three guys rushing after the quarterback on third down, Miami's going to be one of the best in the country, if not the best, at putting pressure on the opposing team.
All right, so I know that transfer portal is trying to suck you in. Anybody else going into the transfer portal and ending up here in Coral Gables? What do you hear?
Well, I know that they're going after some graduate transfer offensive linemen. You know, the thing is, a lot of those guys, they would have had to have been in class by today. So I think, you know, like, you can get those guys over the summer, get them in the fall. If they've been in a college program for 3 or 4 years, they're going to be able to come right in and play right away. So I think, you know, you have to monitor that. But outside of that, you know, I would have liked to see them get a receiver. You know, it would have been nice to get another KJ Osborne type of player. But I don't think that's going to happen here as far as the spring is concerned. It could happen over the summer. But that's it. I mean, they've got 23 guys essentially already. There's not many scholarships left. So, you know, you kind of have to adhere to the NCAA rules and play by those rules. So, you know, there's going to be more guys added here in the weeks ahead before signing day. But I'm not expecting a whole lot of them. I think the space is sort of whittling down.
Follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. Catch his work at The Athletic. And what's the next thing you're working on, Manny, so folks can check you out at The Athletic and subscribe and stop slacking so they can, you know, follow the Canes the way they're supposed to?
Well, I mean, listen, if they would have been following me, they would have known that the Eric King was coming on Sunday, because I broke that story on Sunday, the day before everybody else. So right off the bat, you would have been better off.
Right.
I got a lot of stories coming, man. I got the an offensive depth chart breakdown, a defensive special team, sort of a first look at what it's going to look like in 2020. That's kind of what we're working on this week. Kind of review of the 2017 recruiting class and how that really, I mean, that was Mark Richt's first full recruiting class, and just how it bombed and how it really led to a lot of the problems Miami had. So, I mean, there's a lot of off-season stuff going on, and you know, I've written a lot. I had a big feature on the new offensive line coach that's up there at theathletic.com right now. And so I would tell you, man, subscribe. If you haven't already subscribed, there's a lot of great content, not just from me and our other writers here in South Florida, but I mean, you got a whole network, man. You got the whole country, even Europe. I mean, soccer, all of our soccer coverage overseas in the Premier League is outstanding. Tons of podcasts, a lot of good things to check out at The Athletic.
By the way, who the hell is going to cover Inter Miami for you guys? Have you guys hired somebody yet for that?
I think we're still in the process of filling that. You know, we have some MLS writers, but there'll probably be some news in that hopefully soon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Michelle's killing it all by herself.
Hey, listen, man. You know how it is nowadays. Everything's getting squeezed. I mean, they just announced today that we got another $50 million from investors. So I'm pretty sure we're going to hire somebody to cover soccer in Miami. So,
yeah, well, hey, dude, you and I know that whoever covers that Inter Miami team is going to get more page views than anybody that covers the Marlins. So, the summer, that's the team to follow. It's not going to be, I'd love for the Marlins to step up, but you and I know Jorge Mas, That is one motivated dude, bro. Okay?
No question. No question, bro.
That guy wants to do something special, and whoever covers that, they're going to have a they're going to be on a pretty good beat, man. That's going to be a fun beat.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. All right, Manny, as always, you're a stud, my brother. Thank you for taking some time here on our Canesware Miami Hurricanes report.
All right, brother. Take care.
You got it.
Enjoy another Senior Bowl.
Always, baby. Always. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. And, of course, we thank Brett and all the amazing people at Canesware, 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Get on down there. Follow them on Twitter at Canes_wear. Go to the website, caneswear.com. If you order over $99, you will get free shipping. It's interesting. We just finished with Manny, and if you look, see? You see? They're about to start the practices. They just did the stretching drills and all of that. You look over on the far end over there, that's a lot of NFL personnel that's out there. There are some fans that might be mixed in. A lot of the fans go around the stadium, but you see, it's mostly NFL people that are here. I'm telling you. And all along the sidelines there, that's where I'll be when I get off the air. There you go. And then you see downtown area over there. You see the buildings. See that big, tall building? That is a, like, condo office. And then the one to its right that looks just like the big one with the pointy thing, that's the team hotel. The one on the right, the smaller one. See it? There you go. How about that? Giving you guys everything, the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle here. So we're having fun out here at this at Le Senior Bowl. Is what it's all about. What else do we have? We got to wrap it up here on the show. We got, for now.
Okay.
For now, we're wrapping it up. We'll be back later. Well, maybe in a half hour, an hour, we go back on the air again and we do an interview with somebody. I will try to get some interviews now. And maybe we'll get a player also to call in, something along those lines. But we're going to shut down for the moment. Okay, if you guys have any questions, when we start it back up again, it might be in a half hour, it might be an hour from now, it might be 3 hours from now after the final two, after the two practices are done, we'll do our report and we'll talk about what we saw on the field and things like that. But yeah, well, everything will be set here. We appreciate it as always, all of you for tuning in as always. We thank Bill as always working hard here. And we'll see you guys in a few. We definitely will. We'll see you in a few, and we'll be back giving you more coverage from the Reese's Senior Bowl. Be good out there.